everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you. How does it know? Okay, but that's how you have to do it. And I can tell you, 100 years ago when I was in high school,
That long ago?
Well, it was only 55.
Okay, just
checking.
But
who's counting?
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. It is the best, the finest, the most listened to sales and personal motivation and personal development podcast on the planet. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and this is, I think I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto. To my right,
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everybody? You know, some people have been asking me if Sales in a New York Minute is only for New Yorkers.
No, it's for people in Jersey also.
Guys, if you can make the sale there, you can make the sale anywhere. And my mission is to help you make it anywhere. So go get your copy.
It's up to you, you dork. You dork.
Oh, man. So today we have an amazing show and corny humor. Our guest is Greg.
What do you mean corny humor?
What?
It happened to have been funny.
Yeah.
There are thousands of diehards right now that are smiling from ear to ear.
All right. Thank you for smiling. Our guest today is Greg Crumpton, and he's going to teach us about not only HVAC sales, which he happens to be an expert in, but also how you can look at the HVAC industry so that you can figure out the future in other industries and what's going on there.
He's insightful.
He's
a good guy. I've been a customer of his. He's been a customer of mine for a long, long time. And you might think, well, it's air conditioning. No, no. You don't take those things lightly. You take them for granted, but you don't take them lightly.
Well, in America, at least, we've
come
you
to walk
expect
in someplace,
them now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. In Paris, you don't.
You know, when we were done recording the interview, I don't think this is on record, but when we were done recording, I literally turned to him and I was like, so, do you want to see our humidifier?
Oh, no, I was here. I can verify that one.
We just got this new humidifier installed to humidify a 1,500 square foot room. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, he was excited to see our fucking humidifier.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
Anyway.
So before we get to Greg, Nada, who's our five-star review of the day?
Oh. Today is Charles. He writes, this podcast is so valuable for learning about sales training. Love the strong guests that are brought in week in and week out. Keep it coming.
Thank you, Charles.
I have no ring, I'm still in the Hall of Fame. Was it that, Charles?
No, I don't think it was that one.
Guys, we're going to keep giving you tons of value. We promise. We have amazing guests coming up, and Jeffrey and I have new ideas and new strategies to help keep you inspired and kicking your own butt.
Yeah.
All we ask is that you please subscribe, share it with a friend, and review us on iTunes.
What I would like to challenge you about Sell or Die, we're on every week now, or excuse me, every day. And we, about 100,000 people download us a month. We're going to get to about 250,000. Be one of those people. We're going to give you insight and info that you can take out into your street and turn into your money. And it's fun for us. We're having a really good time helping you climb the ladder of sales success.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a confession to make. Greg Crumpton he's a respected friend. If I need some insight, I will call Greg. Not everything in the world is about sales, but everything is about something that will lead to a sale or lead to a relationship. I want you to understand how relationships are formed because your boss is telling you, build a relationship so you can get referrals. Well, we refer people to each other all the time because we respect each other. We are value providers, not blood suckers. Greg doesn't call me up and ask for favors. He calls me up and gives favors. And I think you need to understand that as part and parcel of your journey into the business world or the success world or the sales success world. The best way to get a referral is to give a referral. The best way to get help is to give help. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. So now on to Greg Crumpton,
whose start into HVAC, which is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, will surprise you and why your HVAC system is more important than you realize. Take a listen. Attention diehards, we are welcoming into the studio today the great Greg Crumpton. Greg is a friend. He is semi-quasi-retired but works full-time and is a people promoter, a dot connector, and a technology enthusiast. He also has four dogs, an extensive history in the skills trade industry. He spent nearly four decades as a full-service mechanical and mission-critical environments contractor. He currently serves as Vice President of Critical Facilities and Technology for Service Logic, the largest privately held HVAC companies in the United States. He has a lot of insight into selling service in a challenging industry. Welcome, Greg.
We are glad you're here.
Yes.
Well, thank you. It's a joy to be here. And
well, we've spent a lot of time together, and we kind of know each other.
Well,
we've
hold on. You just mentioned he had four dogs. This is very important. What kind of dogs do you
Well, have? We have four Yorkshire Terriers.
And oh, you have girly dogs.
The cumulative weight, I think, is about 13 and a half pounds.
I love it. I love it. That's freaking awesome.
A little closer to the mic. What is a mission critical environments contractor for our diehards so they have an idea of what the hell you do?
Well, mission critical typically is a environment as a data center would be, a hospital operating room, anything where air conditioning and human comfort or process cooling comfort or process cooling are critical. So yeah. You can't have, you know, this computer running without a fan cooling it. Mm-hmm. So you have to ensure you have proper airflow and heat rejection.
Yeah, it is mission critical that I have enough air in our house. I will tell you that. I totally understand where you're coming from.
I'm going to leave that line alone, diehards. But I will tell you this. She is an airhead.
What? I mean, no. She... I wow. adjust the temperature on our nest to make sure before I go into the room that it's going to be the exact temperature that I want to be in.
So right. That is mission critical.
That, yeah. That is mission critical.
And we had
critical.
A humidifier installed just to prove it.
Yes, yes.
So we now, yeah, in the wintertime in Charlotte in a wood building.
You got to have it. You got to have it.
And those store-bought humidifiers can only, you know, attack a small portion of a room, not a 1,500 square foot loft.
So you think about a mission critical environment, we would have to condition the entire cubic area of the room, mm-hmm. not just 1,500, but maybe a million square feet that you would have to have humidification for.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And so that requires one with a bigger motor.
A bigger motor and a whole lot of cool looking ski hat wear.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, what got you into this line of work?
Second generation. My dad worked for a very large mechanical contractor in Atlanta. I kind of grew up at that company and worked through various positions within that company, including a small stake of ownership at the end. 1997, moved to Charlotte. Not too long after that, meet Jeffrey. 1999, my wife and I opened the company, and we ran it for 15 years.
Wow.
And then we sold it in 2014 to Service Logic, where I'm currently employed.
Cool.
Or apparently semi-retired per Jeffrey.
So. Well, I'll just say this. You have a lifestyle, and you're going to make sure that your lifestyle includes work plus stuff you like to do.
Absolutely, including caring for those 16 little paws
exactly.
that we talked
Aww.
About.
Now, there's a problem right now that exists in our employment society, and with the economy going nuts in a good way, tell me what has happened in the HVAC industry, because I guarantee you it's happening elsewhere.
Yeah, it's so true. It's happening in electrical work, plumbers, welders, any skilled trades is what it's defined as.
Even auto mechanics?
What is it? What?
So it's the essentially the silver tsunami, you know, to use a cool word that I read about one time, and I didn't know what it meant, so I had to go look it up. And it's the people that are retiring out of the workforce that are the tail end of the baby boom. And I'm the last year of the baby boom. I'm 1964. I was born.
Oh, wow.
So every day there's 10,000 people retiring from the United States workforce
wow.
that are part of the baby
yeah,
boom
a lot
generation.
Of them I'm at the first
the
year.
The silver I'm, tsunami.
Yeah. It's actually
well,
the
people that have
that's
hair.
That's a great
right.
term.
The people
exactly.
that have hair
that's
can say
that's a great
that.
Term. You can literally picture it. Flooding yeah. out. I love that.
And it has a better ring than the bald tsunami.
Or the old bald guy.
The old yeah. fucker tsunami.
So these guys or girls are retiring.
Yep.
And then what?
So what we're working hard to do in the industry is to attract and train new to the workforce people to understand what all – there is to do, which could be, like I said, welding or whatever. But
yeah.
in particular, the HVAC vein, we attract and we train and we recruit and we retrain and we reattract, and we just try to keep the pipeline full for incoming applicants.
We're going to call it the hair gel tsunami.
Well, aren't there like trade schools and stuff?
There are, Jen. Our workforce is about half union, half non-union, and depending on the geography, pretty well dictates that.
Yeah, big cities.
Yeah, and so the unions do a really good job of doing apprenticeship and skilled trades training. However, they can't keep up either. I mean, we really have a shortage of people. In our industry, the HVAC industry, they estimate 2 million jobs will be unfilled by 2040.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So – every and time.
Wait, what's the average wage of that guy?
4 years of school, a guy could be making $75,000 coming out of school.
So why is it less attractive now to be in that position than it was, you know, for someone who started out in that position 20 years ago?
Well, I think the advent of electronics have had a big influx or impact on the people that are willing to go to work with their hands and get dirty and be outdoors and lay in the snow and sweat. I mean, it's not like a glamorous job. It's very rewarding, and if you're really good at it, you really do well. The challenge is getting folks who have never worked. You know, think about like when I was a kid, we all worked on our car. We changed the oil and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't happen much anymore. The kid takes
no,
the
I've
car.
No, I've never changed
well,
the oil.
You can't even get into the engine.
I don't even.
You open up the hood and it's like all locked up.
No, I've
all
never
right,
opened
so
nothing.
Think about air conditioners are the same way. You know, you used to, you had an air conditioner and there are identifiable components to it. Well, now through modern technology and controls, it looks like a full-blown machine. It's just not an air conditioner. So
yeah.
the skill level has to be there, on par to what you're talking about with your car.
Tim's our guy. We love Tim.
Yeah.
But we request Tim every time we need an HVAC.
Well, there you
repair.
Go. But yeah. See, there's a lot of good Tims out there. We just need to multiply Tim.
Yeah.
And so how do you do that?
That's a great question and one that a lot of people are tackling, but it's really about going into the high school and even junior high and starting that understanding that, you know, not every kid's cut out to go to college. And I was one of those kids. I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to go to work. And, you know, you try to identify them early and show another route where they can still have a great career, make good money, take care of a family, but they don't have to have that four-year degree in, you know, the history of Zimbabwe and then have nothing to apply it to.
I don't know. One of my favorite countries.
And so are there opportunities for these young people?
Absolutely. Yeah. We throughout our companies, we have 28 different companies under the ServiceLogic umbrella. And to a point, every one of those companies are hiring right now for entry-level positions and will help.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So what could a junior high or high school kid make? Right now,
they got to graduate.
So they get out of high school.
Well, can they like apprentice or?
They got to graduate.
No, but you're
he's
giving.
Only 9 years old.
I asked if there's opportunities for these young people, and Greg said yes.
So what are
the opportunities for? So if I'm a diehard and I have a kid in 10th grade, what can they do?
That's the kids we're looking for. One successful program I'll talk about is over in the eastern part of North Carolina in Greenville, where one of our companies called Piedmont Service Group is actually partnered with a high school and a community college, and they're doing internships and apprenticeships.
So that's perfect.
There's
that's
several
cool.
of those
that's
programs.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, have a summer job. Cool. And yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And then we partner really with like locally here in the Charlotte area. We have CPCC Community College and Rowan Cabarrus Community College. We work with those programs to try to help find their students jobs that want to come into the workforce.
I'm going to throw an idea out there just as a random kind of thing.
Never happened before.
Hey, everybody. This is Gina Tremurco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Make sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks. And it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
Heating and air conditioning is something or are some things that people take for granted.
Yes.
You go into a building, it's summertime, it's cool. You go into a building, it's wintertime, the building's warm. I would venture to say less than 1 in 100 people has any idea how that occurs.
Well said.
Okay. So here's my idea. You create a Broadway show prop, a set of props, that shows how buildings are heated and cooled, and you have a high school assembly for sophomores and juniors and seniors about the mystery of the miracle of heating and cooling. How do it do it? It's like a thermos.
How does it know?
It keeps shit hot. It keeps shit cold. How does it know? Okay. But that's how you have to do it. And I can tell you, 100 years ago when I was in high school, Well, it was only 55.
Okay, just checking.
But who's counting? A guy came and he did an assembly on clocks. And it was, I mean, he had the whole stage filled with gears and things. And it ended up being pretty funny because after a 40-minute assembly, and it was amazing. The guy was like really good. He goes, are there any questions? And some kid yells out, what time is it? Which I love it. Wait, no, you don't know. It was like 5 minutes of laughter.
That's Jersey.
Yeah, but I think if you're looking to recruit somebody, make it fun, make it attractive, and show where the money is.
So short of doing the Broadway production, mm-hmm. we finished up last month a video that we actually brought in actors and an actor and an actress, and we made a production called What Everybody Should Know About HVAC. Mm-hmm. And I'll share that with you so you can share it with your listeners as
cool.
well.
Oh, that'll be cool. We'll pop that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's
for
really
sure.
cool. Yeah. It's a little bit of physics, a little bit of common sense, and at the end of a – it's about an 8-minute video. You really have a feel for it. And I showed it to some people not in the industry. And It was a big hit. So I think that we're on to something. I think your thought process is right on the mark, and this thing's really been well received so
That's
far.
Cool.
There has to be an ability to slightly glamorize a dirty job.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think the way to do it is to show how interesting it is, because we take it for granted there's a million buildings in this country, mm-hmm. and they all need heating and they all need air conditioning. And I wouldn't call it HVAC. I would call it climate comfort.
Mission critical climate control.
Well, you and I had that conversation about 5 years ago talking about thermostats.
Yeah.
And we called it environmental conditioning, I think was the word we came up with. You're so right, and I'll tell you, Mike Rowe, the guy who does the dirty jobs, he's done a really good job. He's got actually a pretty good scholarship program where he's helping recruit into the skilled trades gap. So people are starting to really kind of get a feel for, like, holy crap, this is serious.
Yeah.
And with the advent of Nest, and Nest will be that's like the forerunner. It'll be looked at 5 years from now as primitive.
It's funny because HVAC people actually don't think Nest is like the bee's knees, but like the common people like us.
Oh my God.
We're obsessed with it.
Like I can't.
I'm sure you know of something 10 times better than Nest that actually is more compatible with our units that are dual whatever than the Nest actually is.
Yeah, but you think about what you just said. It doesn't sound cool.
No.
But a Nest sounds cool. I can talk about a digital programmable thermostat and people glaze over.
Yeah, exactly.
But a Nest, sounds
exactly.
really
wait,
cool.
Wait a minute. What do you have in your house?
I have a digital programmable thermostat.
And like honestly for me, I'm at the point now where I don't care what it is as long as it's every unit's in one app. So I'm not going to different apps
think about that. But you can control your entire environment from 5,000 miles away on your phone.
We were someplace else. I forgot where it was.
Yeah, we're in Paris.
It was recent after we got that humidifier installed, and the humidifier works off of when the fan's on and off. And so you asked me, can you make sure the fan is on? I was like, sure. So I go into the Nest app. Where were we? We were like in Arizona, I think. And I go in and I'm like, how about I just set the fan to go on every day for 12 hours a day?
There
and you
go.
Were like, yeah, do that. I mean, and it worked.
No, we
it's
did,
crazy.
We did it from 3,000 miles away.
It's so crazy.
Well, I was thinking, I was on an airplane last week and the internet was a little bit slow. And
really?
I'm thinking, all right. That's really not something that I can complain about. I'm 37,000 feet up, and it's a little bit slow.
If you do complain about it, though, they'll give you free miles.
But they'll fake it. They don't actually give a shit.
They won't give me anything if they know I know him.
Yeah, or
his history
or
with
me.
They'll take it away.
Okay, so let's switch gears, if that's okay. I want to talk about I often think about the fact that salespeople going in and calling on their prospects are a huge representation of their company. And when you have a company like an HVAC company with 28, companies throughout the country or whatever, your HVAC people, not even your salespeople, but your technicians are representing the company.
Absolutely.
And so how do you train them to be both service-oriented and, someone that someone else would want in their home?
And great, great point. And we all know what good customer service feels like.
Yep.
We try to deliver it, and then we know what it feels like, and we appreciate it when we get it. So I've often, you know, I've said this for many, many years. I can help you become a really good air conditioning technician. I can't help you be a good person. Mm. So, you know, you've got to have that core value. And a lot of the times, I know some really smart air conditioning guys, but you kind of want to lock them in a room and not let them out until
right.
there's a problem.
You don't want them talking to anybody.
Because, yeah, you know, the soft skills part is something that we talk about a lot, Jen, at our companies, plural. And, in fact, I had a phone call this morning, a young man who I used to work with years and years ago in Atlanta called, and we spent 15 minutes catching up. But a lot of that, the last part of that conversation was about the soft skills and how do you help remind or teach someone you don't need those keys swinging off your hip. Put them in your pocket, you know, turn your phone ringer to vibrate.
Boom!
Jeffrey.
Yeah, it was. But that was my low, my ringer was pick up Gabrielle at school. It's on every day at 10 of 5 of 3.
Like. But I really think it comes down to just trying to help people be an extension of their good self in a professional setting.
Mm-hmm. Are there certain tenets that you teach or certain principles that your people have to go through? I would just imagine there's like, I don't know, three things you need to know soft skills wise, or I'm making up a number.
Well, there's probably more than that. But if you think about, so we have people out driving around. We have somewhere around 2,000 vehicles with a service technician.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be able to drive courteously. So it's important to teach young people to take care of their driver's license so that they don't have all these points and all this stuff that would preclude them from getting the job they want when they're 40. That's one. Being able to communicate, you know, if you can go up into the ceiling here and diagnose the problem, can I come down and tell you about it in a way that you get it? And that's taking technical terms and making them layman's terms so that they translate over easier. And then a lot of times we get put in a position where people are asking our technicians for pricing. And a lot of the commercial systems we were working on, it's just not as easy as a cookbook price of replacing a fan motor for a.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we balance that financial conversation as well with the technicians.
There's also the fact that these are the people who fix the thing. They're the people who the consumer is going to trust more than the salesperson, and they can make a recommendation that literally can change the sales structure and revenue structure of a company if they would just upsell.
You know, that's a really good point. And I think you've met a guy who I've known for a long time, Denny Baumgart. He was mm-hmm. our trainer over at my former company. And Denny does a lot of soft skills training with the young people. And one thing that he always leaves with is remember to ask them, is there one more thing you can do for them while you're there? And it's as simple as maybe the light bulb's bad and he's got his ladder out. Maybe he changes the light bulb. Maybe he, you know, sprays some grease on the door that's sticky.
Or that's squeaking.
That one little thing.
Yeah.
And
oh, gosh,
people remember
I would have
that.
Like 5 to 10 things if someone would ever just ask.
If yeah. someone ever would, right?
Yeah.
Jen
yeah.
is a little squeaky.
No, so but our door is, oh. and our lights need to be changed, and I
yeah.
mean,
see?
Yeah.
I have a few things, and the sink is dripping a little bit, and you know.
Okay, but you're on the money there. Is there something extra that can be done?
I love that.
But before you can do that, these people have to have the mindset to notice it and and don't say, is there anything extra? You say, hey, your light's out. You want me to change it?
Right.
It has to be a proactive thing, not anything else? You know, you're not a 7-Eleven guy.
you're can you walk the dogs?
Slim Jim.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And it comes down to that, how do you present yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And our companies, we work so hard to be professional. And a lot of people can make cold air come out of that duct.
Mm-hmm.
How can we do it better, quicker, quieter? At a more convenient time, all those things have to weigh in every decision that happens at the truck at the technician level. And I tell this story before; it's just comical to me. But another friend of mine who is retiring right now, so that tells you I'm aging out. He reminded me of a story one time. We were working for a TV studio in the Atlanta area doing some maintenance work on their air conditioning, and we were getting ready to go to lunch. And I was like 20 years old, and I don't know why or how I knew to do it, but I asked our contact. I said, hey, we're going to grab lunch. Can we get you anything while we're out? Just kind of a natural thing. I didn't really think about it. Well, last year, he's recapping this story to me, so 30 years later. And he said, do you know how funny that was? And I said, no, I didn't really think it was funny. Why did you think it was funny? He said, because I knew we were both broke. I was hoping he didn't want anything. But I think having that innate
– But the mindset
the
is
desire
what you want.
To help. Yeah. I think it's mm-hmm. desire to serve, desire to help. And that's what we try to foster. And that's cool. Delivering exceptional service.
I agree. Two things. Number one,
yeah.
When the technician leaves, the customer is going to say one of five things. Something great, something good, nothing, something bad, or something real bad. And literally, the technician chooses what they say.
Yes.
Tracking in mud, fixing it, not fixing it.
Left a mess.
Yeah.
I was reading Yelp reviews, remember, for a plumbing company this morning.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they were horrible. They were two-star reviews. I'm like, we can't even use them. Right. I mean, it was terrible. Left a mess, didn't fix it, came back to fix it, still didn't fix the problem. Like, what?
You know, totally crazy. That's number one. And number two, what story are they going to tell that can potentially get them new work?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's heater or air conditioning that they fix lives next door to somebody else, whether it's commercial or residential.
Right, right.
And they're going to talk. They're going to shoot the shit at lunch or over breakfast coffee or something. And the air conditioning broke yesterday. Oh, what happened? This guy came over and he was and that's
the moment of truth.
Yep.
Total.
The Jan Carlson moment of truth that you get to tell. And 74% of the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
74% of the time, we want people either given that A or A plus score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know,
but you earn it. You don't just
get
it.
Right, right.
And I said a while ago, we know what it feels like. So our goal is to give it as well as receive it. But the challenge, and I think this will forever be a challenge, is helping other people understand that. But you just have to keep doing it in a repetitive way, you know, showing the right way, coaching the right way. And demonstrating it.
It's a training coaching issue, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a combination of the internal training team and the guys that are doing it exemplary in the field.
Yeah. Well, that's culture for me. I mean, that's how I look at it. And it's so fun. As Service Logic is acquiring companies, I'm fortunate enough to go out on the diligence piece a lot of – sometimes, not all the time. But to get to see how these companies are put together and the foundation – and we just heard a very compelling story this week about how the guy started the company and what he built the company on, which was giving good service, saying yes, and looking good.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that.
Hello.
I love that.
You might want to put competence in there, but I totally agree.
Man,
But you have to be competent to give good service.
I'm just going to say
you can't fix shit if you
friendly
don't know how
fixes
to fix
a lot of crap.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does.
Yeah. So, diehards, what does HVAC have to do with your sales career? And the answer is, I just gave it to you. What is the customer saying about you after that transaction is over? What are they saying after the meeting is over? What are they saying after the delivery is over? What are they saying after the sale has been made? What are they saying after service has been provided? What are they saying about you behind your back? Because that determines your fate. And if it isn't great, somebody else is going to come into your space and it'll be great and you're going to lose that business and blame it on price. No, you sucked. That's what you need to blame it on.
So – last thing before you go, we mentioned at the beginning that Jeffrey mentioned that you're a tech enthusiast and really into technology.
Yeah.
So, you know, 5G is coming out. 4G was a big thing. Now we're on to 5.
Right.
How is that going to change the industry and what we do as a nation?
Well, just last week, right down the road at one of my favorite little restaurants called the Old Mac Brewery, they have a little training room. And we took about 30 people in that training room and we talked about 5G. 5G is going to revolutionize communication again because it happens so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
How it affects the HVAC business is that in order to have adequate coverage, they have to have twice as many cell sites, so to speak, as 4G. So now if you had a tower every 2 miles, you're going to have one every 1 mile.
Wow.
And for us, that's a good thing because you have to get the heat out of that enclosure. So that's why the HVAC industry
is jumping up and down.
But
absolutely.
That's cool. And how do you think it will change our expectations in terms of response time and service from a service provider, from a vendor?
Well, so the advantage of 5G is latency, a lack of latency. So when you want stuff, you want it and it's happening at light speed because everything's fiber-based. We have to continue to attract and educate people so that we're able to service that niche, because if you have twice as many shelters on the side of the interstate for that communications gear, then that means that you have to have two people where you used to have one.
Wow.
So you're not going to solve it all with people. You're going to have to use some technology, remote monitoring, all riding on the 5G network.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. So like I could be in Aruba and you could tell me that my AC has just gone down.
Yes. Similar to the Nest.
Love
but
it.
It really works well.
Okay. I would then retitle the seminar that I'm looking for you to give, and that is Turning 5G into 105G.
I love that.
In your pocket.
Quarterly.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
So, diehards, the great Greg Crumpton is going to take his leave, but we're going to have him come back in 6 months and talk about where the revolution, where the evolution, where the silver tsunami is headed, and how you might be able to take advantage of it. Thank you, Greg, for being
here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.